Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Pull up a Bloody Mary, a mimosa, or some prune juice.
Does he have some magic in him? Nix drops back.
And get a serving of Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and other hot menu items.
Underneath, touchdown, Ducks! Wow!
This is Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
Oh! Off the upright! And good! He kissed it in!
On the Odyssey app and 1080.
All these things are true. I wouldn't lie. I don't lie to you guys, baby.
The Fan.
Well, it's true. I don't lie to nobody. You know, that's not what I do. That would be fake, and I'm not with any of that stuff, man.
Appreciate it.
So, you know,
I like real people.
I do my part, man. You know, as real as can be over here. Some people are
good dude.
Fake as $4 bills, you know.
Especially in the media. Like, especially people that do this job. You would probably not be surprised to learn. And not necessarily here in this building. This is probably the coolest group of people I have ever worked with in my career. But there are a lot of fakes and liars in this biz.
Oh, for sure.
Shocked, I'm sure.
For sure. You know, a lot of people... You'd be surprised how many sports guys think that they're bigger than the actual athletes.
Oh my God! It's like I'm a chubby white dude that nobody like. I'm just giving my angry hot takes, and for some reason we still get paid to do this, and it's awesome. But hell no!
Yeah, there's some people they're like the Stephen A's and Jay Adondes of the world that truly feel like they are a bigger celebrity than the people that they're talking about.
Well, that's what happens when you start making $5-10 million just to talk sports. I would put Skip Bayless in that category as well.
Oh, 100%. I just didn't want to say his
way
name.
Bigger. I mean, with that argument with Richard Sherman, like, oh, I think I've accomplished a lot in my field. Like,
sorry.
Skip, you're lucky because you know people. You're from the right part of the country and you know people. Let's be honest. Yeah. Let's say it like it is, buddy. God.
He said, I'm better at life than you.
Like, he, ouch. Did.
Ouch.
He did.
Ouch.
Speaking of life, I forgot to ask you to start this show, man. How was your Friday? Did you do anything fun? I went and saw Oppenheimer on Friday.
How was it?
So,
Okay.
I liked it. Great movie. Not sure it was worth going to the movie theater for. However, I did see it. There's many different versions of it. Oppenheimer was shot in IMAX cameras, which I don't know if you know about Chris Nolan films, but that's kind of one thing that he's done since The Dark Knight, which is one of my favorites of all time. But very cinematic and very clear. I think if you saw it on one of 20 screens in the United States where it's being viewed in 70 millimeter IMAX format, it's the equivalent of like 19K. You know, you and I get 4K TVs, but just the clarity is supposed to be really good. So I went and saw it. The only version near us that's close to that is just the original 70mm. So not IMAX, but just the regular theater screen. But it's an actual, it's not digital. It's an actual film reel. And I think that was the equivalent of the 13K. So the clarity was good. The movie was good. But I hate movie theaters. So that is my one qualm, and maybe other people can put up with it more than I do, Joe. Joe, maybe, does he, I wonder, like, is he a movie guy? Like,
Joe?
Does Joe ever go to a movie theater? Because I don't feel like I've ever heard you talk about going to the theater very often. I don't know if you're a movie guy.
I love movies, yeah.
Okay,
I love the
so you're a movie guy. I feel like he's on my side of this, so I feel like you're in the minority just on going to the actual theater.
Absolutely.
As opposed to staying at home.
There's some things that, unfortunately, you just can't, it just doesn't ring the same at home, you know? So sometimes a movie theater, I wish I wouldn't have seen the Mario Brothers movie at the theater.
At the theater, because, you know, yeah, I can watch that. It's streaming, I think, on Peacock.
Yeah, so there's some movies were like, ah, oh, I should have saw that.
Streaming on the cock.
You know, but for the most part, like, one of my guilty pleasures, I'll go to the movies by myself.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, I mean, I would sneak a little pint of something into the theater.
I love it.
And I would just go and watch a movie and get some popcorn just myself. I saw 40-Year-Old Virgin alone, which sounds kind of sad when you say it out loud.
I was
going
to say, dude, were you doing something to yourself?
No,
in the back
man.
Row?
I was just like, no, seriously, it'd be like, so it would be times where I'm like, I was just kind of bored.
No, I get what
you're saying.
There's
a movie out, and I was like, bro, I'm here. I might as well, you
know many
I got a couple hours. So,
yeah.
I remember I saw Anchorman in the theater, which was hilarious. The first Harold and Kumar in the theater, which was awesome. So yeah, I've been able to see a lot of like cool things like on my own, but there's a lot of things that I'm like, yeah, I'm not going by myself.
So I would recommend that you go see this, Rashad. Oppenheimer might change cinema as we know it just because of the options that Chris Nolan is actually giving us. And really you see, you know, not just a superhero movie with a bunch of computer-generated effects and people really not acting, just being in suits looking sexy. Like, this is a movie. And obviously the story important. J. Robert Oppenheimer, the basically inventor or one of the first inventors of the atomic bomb. And that is a story that I think needs to be told. And finally in 2023, we're getting a really good telling of it. So since you're a movie theater guy, I would go, but... Dude, I smelled farts walking back into the theater after I went to grab my my Slurpees to drink for my wife and I. Well, they got to go somewhere because you're walking under everybody's butts, and that's what I realized. And I'm like, that alone put me off, and then just the feeling of the seat for 3 hours, I'd rather...
It's a three-hour movie?
Oppenheimer is a three-hour movie.
Pass.
See, so you can't sit in a theater for that long. I'd rather have my own bathroom. I want my own cannabis.
Yeah.
I want to be at home.
Pass. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I need to take breaks or come back to it later. So you can say the movie was the bomb.
I don't know about
that. You see
that.
What I did there?
That's like saying bomb on an airplane. I say it was pretty good. It was a good movie. I would go see it if you're a theater guy, but it sounds like 3 hours you can't do it. And that is a turnoff for a lot of people. I mean, it is like a Titanic epic length film. So.
Well, shoot, man. One of the best movies of the year is going to be the drama that takes place in the NFC North.
Ooh, yes.
There is so much drama, so much, you know, movement. So much drama in the NBC, or, you know what I'm saying, or NFC. So here we go. Someone asked, said they're a Lions fan. Let's just get this out of the way now. For the first time since 1993, the Lions have been favored to win the division championship.
Really? In 30 years?
For the first time in 30 years, the Detroit Lions, the Dan Campbells, the fighting Dan Campbells, as we like to call them here on 1080 The Fan, are favored to win the championship of the NFC.
For the first time since Barry Sanders was on your roster.
For the first time.
Congrats, Lions fan.
We talked about this, you know, just kind of during the break a little bit. Like, the Lions have had literally like four franchise players in their entire history. But most notably, Barry Sanders, Megatron, Matt Stafford. That's been it.
Yep.
All of a sudden... In three seasons. Now, this is Dan Campbell's third season?
Yes, I believe
it's
his third year, because he went almost defeated, I believe, in the first season, and then last
and then
year
just
was the
barely missed the playoffs
around.
Last game of the season.
So third year, yeah.
So he's led the team to the first winning season since 2017. and a 6-year bump from, or 6-win bump from the year prior. Man, Dan Campbell really has this team playing well. It's one of the best, the offense, one of the best in the league. Last year, they were able to score points. Coach Ben Johnson, or offensive coordinator Ben Johnson, was doing a great job making sure they can put points on the board. He's back in Motor City, which is huge for this team.
Drafted that kid Alabama, Jahmyr Gibbs, too.
Oh, my gosh, man. You know, like, so, I mean, and mind you, after you trade away DeAndre Swift, you know, and then you go ahead and draft what you said. You just mentioned Jahmyr Gibbs and everything. So,
and I love Swift. I'm a Swift fan. He's on the Eagles now, I believe. And they're getting, I mean, 1,000 yards out of this kid guaranteed for DeAndre Swift. But Gibbs, oh, he's good old Alabama running back, and he does what they usually do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is produced typically, you know, in the NFL. And so they're also able to go out and get David Montgomery, you know, who, and Marvin Jones, or excuse me, Marvin Jones, who's replacing DJ Chark. So they were able to kind of fill in some needs where they needed to. I already kind of thought that they were the best team in their division moving forward, or at least, you know, at this point, especially with Aaron Rodgers, you know, leaving the division.
It leaves things up in the air.
It kind of leaves everything up in the air. But I honestly think the Lions are the team to beat this year. I think the only other team that's really going to give them any type of pushback in this division would be the Minnesota Vikings. And I think the Vikings, honestly, Kirk Cousins, after watching Quarterback, I don't know if you saw Quarterback on Netflix.
I'm watching. I'm in episode 2 right now.
I love Kirk Cousins so much more after watching Quarterback.
Yeah. Somebody was telling me that I needed to watch that specifically to look at Kirk Cousins' preparation and how much he puts into the game.
He puts in so much, and then you see how much he's not protected. You know, there's a part where he kind of gets a bruised rib, you know, just from taking so many hits from the off or from the defense, and just he just keeps going, and keeps plugging away. And then he's just laying on the ground at some points, like kind of wincing in pain, just like, ugh. But he just keeps getting up and keeps doing more. It's like, man, he doesn't curse. He, you know, he's like a family dude. He wants nothing more than to be around his kids and to be around his wife. Wife dresses him like she shops at Costco and buys Kirkland brand stuff like that. Like, he's just a regular dude who happens to play football. You know?
That's true.
And I forget he's been in the league for like 11 years now.
Well, I mean, he was handed a job at for the Washington football team.
No, he took that job.
No. If it weren't for Alex Smith going down and breaking his damn leg in a horrible fashion and almost having it amputated, I'm not sure Kirk Cousins would have been as prominent a quarterback as we see.
Remember, he took over for RG3 when everybody thought Robert Griffin was going to be that guy, and he was able to take over for him, but and then just pretty much never looked back. And you know, the best thing that could have happened was, and this sounds terrible saying this, is Alex Smith taking that injury because it forced him to do more.
Yeah, but he's such, I mean, all right, yes, watching Quarterbacks, I see the preparation and Kirk Cousins is decent. However, I think, and I mean, I never thought that I'd say this about Jared Goff, but Jared Goff sneaks into the top 10 of quarterbacks in all of the NFL this year, and I'm actually excited to see what he can do with this roster of weapons. I know Marvin, he's going to be the second Jacksonville Jaguars 2.0 iteration at wide receiver after DJ Chark, but I feel like maybe Detroit has identified that Jacksonville is onto something with their wideouts, because DJ Chark was really good before Detroit brought him in. Not quite able to get what they wanted out of him for this season, so this season they go with Marvin Jones Jr. Their offensive line is obviously all sewn up, anchored by former Duck Penny Sewell, a lot of veterans on that line as well, so Goff's got the protection. We already mentioned the running back in Jahmyr Gibbs out of Alabama, so their offense specifically, it's going to be lit coming off their defensive rookie of the year winner, Aiden Hutchinson, as well. They've got an edge guy now. I mean, Detroit is scary. And, yeah, I know, Kirk Cousins, they're going to challenge him. Minnesota's been there, but they haven't been great. They've been able to do it during the regular season, I think 13-4 in 2022. But I think this is going to be the Lions' year, and they're predicted to win. I would say at this point, you're probably going to need 13 wins overall to win the NFC North. So, yeah, let's put Detroit at 13-4 coming up in 2023.
Ooh, jeez.
13-4. Okay. Looking at their schedule, I think it's doable. A couple things have to bounce their way. especially end of the year. I don't think they're going to win to open up against Kansas City. They're going to have to sew it up against Minnesota. And then at the end of the season, right before that, they've got Dallas on the road. So their last three games, at Minnesota, at Dallas, versus Minnesota at home. So that's what I'm saying. Some things have to bounce their way. But if Detroit can show up, and if they can play for Dan Campbell, they can run through a damn wall like I would run through a damn wall for Dan Campbell, I think they're going to be okay. And yeah, I think they're getting 13
I'm saying wins. 12-5 for the Lions, and I'm going to go for the Vikings. I'm going to go ahead and say 10-7 on the season for the Vikings. So
you think a little bit of a regression?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit, because now that, you know, Justin Jefferson, our reigning offensive player of the year for the NFL, I think defenses are going to pay a lot more attention and maybe put two guys on him, put somebody over the top of him just to make sure that he can't, you know, beat you the way he typically ends up beating you. But he's Justin Jefferson. He's going to do whatever the hell he wants to. He's a 99 overall in Madden. So just saying. All right, coming up, man, we're going to wrap up this division. We have two other teams to talk about. So we're going to wrap up the NFC North when we come back right here, Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
No one.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
10:22 on a beautiful Sunday morning here in Portland, Oregon. What you got going today, bro?
Not sure. Might do some water activities. Might got to do some shopping. My wife and I, we get into this habit of like needing groceries and then just ordering out instead. So got to handle that. But we might be out in the water. What about you?
Not too much, bro. I'm probably just chilling, you know, not a lot. Maybe just hang out at home. I got some, you know, got some laundry to do. That's pretty much what my life is, bro. Is
that
full
pile
of
laundry.
Yeah, man.
Always waiting.
Trying to make sure I, you know, get some laundry done and some other stuff like that, man. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me. You'll learn. I'm very, very domestic. You know, that's what I have to try to do is go home and be domestic. I'm always moving for my job and doing stuff, especially during the summer. So I very seldom get a chance to just like sit and chill.
Well, that's
or anything
nice
like that.
To so, just do that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm going to go home and probably do. So I want to go hoop today. I want to go out and shoot somewhere, but we'll see if I'm able to do that. But
yeah, shoot. Come on over. I got a very nice basketball court right outside my house. Like, it's like a block away.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, we got, it's a nice neighborhood development there with, like, tennis courts, and there's an HOA, and the pool that I get there is included in my house fees every month. But, yeah, we also have a nice little basketball court, like, nice full size, and it was just
get up
made
there,
a year ago.
Get up there and hoop sometime.
Hell, yeah.
Man. So, well, we're going to wrap up our NFC North previews, and we're going to start with Aaron Rodgers, the Aaron Rodgers list. Green Bay Packers, which sounds really weird to say that Aaron Rodgers no longer plays for the Green Bay Packers after damn near 20 seasons. He is now playing for the New York Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets. That's what he's doing now. And I think Green Bay fans are kind of on the fence about how to feel about that. But it was a long, drawn-out process, and now he's gone to New York. Now Jordan Love is up. You know, Jordan Love, who was picked in 2020, only played 10 games so far. He's going to look to be leading the offense, and that took a lot of steps backwards last season. You know, after Devontae Adams was traded, he ended up being in Las Vegas. That didn't go as well for him. And then, you know, you lose your leading receiver in Allen Lazard. So if as a young quarterback, you don't have many weapons. At least you feel like you don't have many weapons to work with. You got into Jalen Reed and tight end Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave in the second, third rounds of the draft. So it's like you got guys, but nobody that's expected to do much for you right now. As a Packers fan, I'm sure I'm a Patriots fan, so I understand what it means to have a great quarterback for a game-changing once-in-a-lifetime quarterback for, you know, 15 years plus. You know, I know what that's like. And then you lose that guy and you try to figure out what's next. And I think we talked about this a little earlier. Jordan Love is going to have to do his best Jordan Love impression because he can't be Aaron Rodgers. Very few people can be Aaron Rodgers. And I think they tried to make Mac Jones the next Tom Brady. And Mac Jones can't be Tom Brady. They got to figure out an offense that works for Jordan Love and what he can provide as the quarterback, as the lead trigger man for this Packers team.
So here's what I think Green Bay thinks that they have. And I, guys and gals listening, because I'm about to get laughed at, the text line is going to come down on me hard here. But
here we go.
Rashad, I think the Packers think that they have their own Patrick Mahomes and Jordan Love. You go back, we don't have much, you know, highlight-wise from his time in the NFL. Obviously, you just mentioned, I think, only 10 games. But you go back, you look at his time at Utah State, you see a lot of big throws. You see a lot of throws moving around in and out of the pocket. And one thing that we've actually learned from this Netflix series, Quarterbacks, which I did not know and frankly is fascinating to me, and why Patrick Mahomes, one of the features of quarterbacks, is so good, is because of the mobility of his spine. And there's a doctor or his agent, I can't remember, talks about just how strong Patrick Mahomes is from the spine and how he's never seen anything like that strength, you know, from spine to shoulder or from spine to hip in any other patient that he's ever worked with. Patrick Mahomes is a genetic freak. And
yes, he is.
You go back and you watch Jordan Love back in college at Utah State, moving out of the pocket, throwing big balls, getting things over the defense, despite being on the run, despite being knocked over, off balance. I think that Green Bay was so willing to move on from a 38-year-old Aaron Rodgers at this point because they wanted to get Jordan Love exposed. They think he's their Patrick Mahomes. Do I see it? I don't know about that. Nobody else is going to be Patrick Mahomes. And nobody else, I think, in the next two or three decades will even come close to that. But Jordan Love has got a very strong arm. He's mobile. And Green Bay has gone forward with, I think, a very different quarterback than they've ever had in their history. Very pocket style with Brett Favre. Aaron Rodgers, actually a little bit more mobile than people think. I believe he's in the top 10 or 12 quarterbacks of all time for rushing yards. So people forget that about him, I think. But yeah, we'll see if they're correct. And Green Bay has found their Patrick Mahomes, so to say. But this season, it's growing pains. They're not going to be good. They let a lot of other guys go on both sides of the ball. So I don't know. Shoot. What do you want to say? Like 6 wins? Rashad,
Green Bay,
maybe?
That sounds fair. That sounds fair.
Yeah.
Five to six wins for the season for Green Bay. There's gonna be some growing pains. And unless you mentioned they found their Patrick Mahomes, which I think we're gonna see a lot more of than usual. Just because that's the style of quarterback that these guys have grown up playing. So I think we're gonna start seeing a lot more guys that play closer to Patrick. Have you seen some of these new recruits that are coming out and guys that are ambidextrous and throwing, dropping backs and throwing with both hands? Like, yeah, it's coming. These guys are right around the corner. And last in this division, this lowly division, the Bears, Chicago Bears.
Wow.
I think they have some great things to be happy about if you're the Bears. Justin Fields has continued to make strides as a quarterback.
Of course.
He considers himself a top 5 rusher, a rushing quarterback in the league's history.
Yes.
Yeah,
we learned that in the last hour on ESPN Radio.
I would be okay with him putting himself into that category.
Man, you're just throwing Randall Cunningham just under the bus.
I'm not throwing Randall Cunningham. He's 5.
Okay,
he's 4 or 5.
Okay, so he put Steve Young at 5. So he said
Steve Young probably wouldn't make my list.
Okay, yeah, Steve Young is in the top 10.
If we're talking 5,
you're
then
talking
I'm
year talk, 5.
Yeah, if okay. we're talking 5, it's Mike Vick.
Okay,
it's Lamar Jackson. I would probably go ahead and put we forget how much Donovan McNabb would move, you know, with the ball and try to escape and stuff like that. He would do that a whole lot. I think, yeah, probably. No. I'm gonna go Aaron McNair. You know what I'm saying?
McNair. Yeah. No, that's great.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Aaron McNair, and then I'm gonna go with my guy Randall Cunningham.
I mean, I hate to do it, but I got to put Cam Newton up there in the top 5. I'm pretty sure his rushing yard total is up there, so I got to throw Cam Newton in there.
Yeah, so
I'm pretty sure Russell Wilson has run for a lot of yards in this league as well.
I'm going to have to take McNabb off and put Cam Newton.
See, man, that's what I'm saying. You understand, like, it sucks. There's so many of these guys now in the last 10 years that have kind of started to come into the league. It's more prominent. So you're trying to, like, pick and choose. And I understand why you're having trouble getting a top 5 together with Justin Fields in it. But that right there should make it easy to see. Jay Fields, you're still young. You're not quite there yet, buddy. This is like after Michael Vick had his first really good year for Atlanta back in the day. Like, you aren't the best yet, bud. You can get there. But I like the attitude, but I'm not sure that I like the, I guess maybe 60-70% of the attitude. I just don't like I'm better than almost everybody attitude.
I mean, I get it.
Confidence is king, but...
That's what I need you to be, though. As my quarterback, I need you to be that cocky, you know, SOB, you know, to make sure you can go out there and lead those men. But Justin Fields is coming back. You know, Chicago was able to sign guard Nick Davis. Hopefully that kind of bolsters that offensive line that they need to really be successful there. But for the most part, not a whole lot to like about the offense of the Bears. You just hope that their quarterback stays upright. You hope that, you know, Justin Fields doesn't get hurt. And honestly, I think that's the best you can ask for at this point from the Bears. Yeah, they're
going to be terrible.
I'm going to say maybe around 5-6 wins.
I'm going to go 4.
6 wins for the season. You said it's 4?
Yeah. I just think that their schedule's
I think they're
too
projected
loaded.
To win 7.5 games this year. So I'm going to go ahead and say about 6. So
man.
Yeah.
I mean, they got Chase Claypool now who thinks that he is in top 3 wide receivers in the league.
Well, so you got somebody that thinks he's a top 5 rusher, then you got Chase Claypool who believes he's a top 5 receiver. The confidence in Chicago is through the roof right now. And so if they can put that all together, like, who's to say that Chicago can't be the surprise of the NFL this year? So that is the North, the AFC, and NFC. Next week, we'll do the South.
Yeah, this
Next
has been
we'll
fun,
do
man.
AFC, NFC South.
We are a week and a half away from the Hall of Fame game, Rashad.
Man,
like,
we're
I'm
right here, bro.
Stoked.
We're right here. And usually I only watch like maybe the first 10 minutes of the game.
Okay.
And then I turn, you know, obviously a lot of starters aren't playing and stuff like
that.
But
yeah,
it's football
yeah.
and it's NFL football, so it's hard not to not catch it for a little bit. So yeah, man. So yeah, that was fun. So this week is the North. Next week is the South as we get closer and closer to the start of the NFL season. Let's talk some college.
Ooh, NCAA.
Want to do some college football?
Yeah, we talking like a lack of Pac-12 deal, or are we
well,
talking
we
Pac-12 preview?
So we didn't really preview the Pac-12. We talked about a couple teams, but we didn't really talk about anybody. We didn't give Oregon State the just due that they deserve. So let's talk a little Oregon State football. Let's talk a little U of O football. Let's talk a little Pac-12. How about that? Want to do that?
Oh, I'm excited, man. I'm excited for my Duckies. Make
Hell
a break
yeah.
year for them.
Hell yeah. Make a break for a lot of teams in the Pac-12. The top six or seven teams in the Pac-12 have a lot to prove. One being a swing team. That's the Colorado squad. We're not sure what we're going to get from them yet, but I guess we'll see. So we're going to talk about that right here. Football Sunday / Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, that's smooth. I like that. Man, football is in the air. We can smell it. We can feel it. Training camps are going. Preseason starting, was it next week?
A week from this Wednesday or Thursday, excuse me. So August 3rd.
August 3rd.
So yeah, next the Hall week, of Fame game. It's always a day or two after my dad's birthday. So yeah, August 3rd.
Yeah, so we are right around the corner from football starting, which means, ladies, I'm sorry, or any wives, girlfriends, you know, partners, anybody that you're attached to that's a football fan, I'm sorry, but for the next 30 weeks or so,
our weekends are sealed.
Prepare to be ignored. You know, so get that honeydew list done on really either really, really early Saturday morning or right around that afternoon break. You know, most Pac-12 games don't start till, you know, right around 4 to 7. So that sweet spot to get that honeydew list done is right between like 1 and 3. You can get stuff being done between 1, 3, 1 and 4. You're in great shape. But I myself am really excited about the football season starting, specifically Pac-12 football. Super excited. Obviously, there are some big changes are coming to the Pac-12, some losses to some major, major programs here in the Pac-12, most notably USC, that's going to be leaving and going to the wherever the hell they're going. Is it Big 12?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, boo. You know, so
boo.
The Big 14 at that point. But for now, USC is still slated to be the Pac-12 champion. Obviously, they have the returning Heisman winner, Caleb Williams?
Yes, sir.
Caleb Williams also to play with, obviously, second-year coach over at or second year at USC.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley.
And
man,
Lincoln
he's
Riley,
something else.
He's a stud, man. I like Lincoln Riley. You know, he's one of those guys that I think most people wish that they could have play for them. But man, more specifically, let's talk about Oregon and what the Oregon Ducks plan to do over the next little bit. Man, I don't know, man. I think okay, Duck fan, stall me out. Let me say this. It's going to be a good season by football standards. From Oregon Duck standards, might not be the season that you're looking for. In the sense that I think Oregon Duck fans believe the Ducks are good enough to play in the national championship. Or, if not more than that, to play in the playoff. To be invited to play in the playoff. This is what we know about the Oregon Ducks. Playing in December and into playing in November, late November, is their Achilles heel. That's typically where it all falls apart, playing in that the Pac-12 championship game. This past year, it was losing to Oregon State in the Civil War game.
They always have a stumbling block or two.
What do we call them this game? It's not Civil War anymore. But
it used to be the game formerly known as the Civil War, but like I don't even care. I'm just going to call it the Civil War. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Still the Civil War.
It's still the Civil
War. I'm just going to go ahead. I'm not offended.
Civil War is not just in America. Every other country of every other, like, stop it.
Guess
right?
what? Black
racist.
Folks aren't offended by saying Civil War.
Thank you. So it's
okay.
Thank you,
Rashad. It's okay. Good you know, like, yeah, we're not offended by it. You know, it's one of those things. Call it the Civil War. And that's perfectly fine. Although the Ducks weren't able to win this game, Oregon State was able to come out with the big victory. But this is like I said, towards the end of the season, that's typically when something goes wrong, whether it's a loss to Utah, and Utah just has the Ducks number. Like, we know the Utah Utes, they are the Oregon Ducks kryptonite. They're going to make sure that they play spoiler to the Oregon Ducks, it seems like every single year, but it's only been for the last couple of years that Utah's knocked them out in the Pac-12 championship. But Bo Nix is coming back for his senior season. It seems like Bo Nix has been playing football for like 12 years. But this is his fourth year. We forget that he had a couple big years at Auburn before he was able to come up to Eugene or down to Eugene or over to Eugene. And now he's going into a senior year, a second season in Eugene, probably the favorite to win the Heisman this year. Pretty much led the nation in offense last year. They have a new offensive coordinator, though. That's something that should be looked at. We often look at the head coach of the Oregon Ducks and blame a lot of the stuff, whether good or bad. They get all the praise if things go right. They get all the blame if things go wrong. But I think during the Marcus Arroyo years, it's kind of forced us to pay more of attention to what our offensive coordinators can provide for these teams. So there's going to be a lot of questions that Will Stein needs to answer. But, man, I think Bo Nix is going to have a great season. I don't know. I think I'll say right around 10 wins for the Ducks this season, which sounds about fair. I know it's that's disappointing to a lot of Duck fans because they believe they should go 12-0 and with an opportunity to play in the playoff. But I'm more of a realist, and I think right around 10 wins is where Oregon should kind of expect themselves to be.
Yeah, I know that Dirt and Sprague kind of get on me because I say that a 10-win season is not just disappointing, but a failure. And that is, in a vacuum, I want my teams to win it all. I root for my teams to win a championship. And Oregon, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like is one of the only teams in the last decade, Rashad, not just in the Pac-12, but in all of college football that has been in the national championship twice. They've lost, but still had that national prestige. They've been there before and not quite gotten, you know, the final prize. Didn't get the BCS championship. Did not get the college football championship after beating Florida State down in the Rose Bowl a couple of years ago with Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota having an amazing game. And so I'm frustrated when 2019 started off with a loss to Bo Nix and Auburn, right? That was Justin Herbert's senior year. They ended up going to the Rose Bowl for the first time under Mario Cristobal. It was great. This is the kind of opportunity that I see 2023 as, Rashad. This is where the Ducks have it all coming back player-wise. They're bringing back Bucky Irving. Bo Nix decided to forego the draft along with Caleb Williams and Michael Penix and everybody else in the Pac-12. You know, half the teams are bringing back their stud quarterbacks and obviously defending Heisman Trophy candidate. And then you got a really full offensive team with weapons on USC's end. But Oregon has a chance to get to the college football playoff. Are they going to? Probably not, which sucks. That really does piss me off. I do feel like Alabama and Georgia are just too good. USC right now would be the team preseason that everybody's picking from the Pac-12 if anybody did from this conference to go to the playoff. But
don't have Oklahoma end up being good or one of those teams.
It's true.
We still got Ohio State. We still got Michigan
TCU,
that had a great season last year.
There's so many other teams.
There are a lot of teams that are going to be ahead of Oregon. So Oregon has to run the board if they want to go to the national championship.
No, so
or
a 10-win season.
A 10-win season is nothing. They have to run the board. Okay, so that's the Ducks. Let's take this last segment and just give the Beavs some love and talk about Oregon State. I got love for Oregon State.
One more note before we go. I was going to get to that SC last year allowed almost 30 points per game. So they can be beaten. I wanted to give Duck fans that little shred of hope that, I mean, they give up a lot of points, and last year they didn't always convert on third down. So yes, Caleb Williams is good, but there are ways to beat Danny Meringue's USC condoms.
And you just hope that for whatever reason USC hasn't filled in those gaps they need to make sure they can build a winner around Caleb Williams. So we'll see. Time will tell. We got a few weeks and we'll get that answered. But coming up next, we'll go ahead and talk about the Beavs. Yes, I have love for the Beavs. I hate your stadium, but I absolutely love the Beavers. We'll talk about Oregon State's chances next, right here on The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Tying a bow on this bad boy this Sunday, 10:50.
Come by quick.
Yeah, man. It always does, man. Like, you know, sometimes we'll come in so tired and then look up and it's like, oh, damn, we're 10
it's
minutes
over.
Left. Yeah, we're about done. So want to make sure we take time to talk about Oregon State. Last time we kind of glanced, you know, kind of, you know, browse, you know, just breeze past them. And it's important to make sure that we give them some love because Oregon State had a hell of a year last year. And I think they have a lot of expectation for this year. They came off their first 10-win season since 2006. That 2006 season, I think, was the was that where they were competing with the Ducks to go to the Rose Bowl?
I believe, or playing spoil. No, they played spoiler when they were bad. Yeah, no, I think that was competing to go to the Rose Bowl that year. Yes, sir.
So I guess the big question is, can they be even better this upcoming season? Jonathan Smith, who I believe was Pac-12 Coach of the Year last year, coaching at his alma mater, has just been a breath of fresh air. It's exactly what they needed. The big change from Gary Anderson, an even bigger change from dang, it's been so long. I'm trying to remember who the coach was. For Gary
Dennis Erickson.
Mike Riley, Dennis Erickson.
Yeah, there's been a prestigious
but
line
more specifically,
of coaches.
Mike Riley is probably the most tenured, you know, coach that they have for a long time.
The point that you're
downs.
Getting at is that Gary Anderson kind of put a hole in all of the success or the
Gary Anderson. I feel like only made it worse for a little bit, and that was a time we can forget. But Jonathan Smith has come in and completely changed things, and then Oregon State goes out and was able to land transfer quarterback DJ Uiagalelei.
All right, it is Ungulalele, and Ungulalele. It is not easy to say.
Dang it, Ungulalele.
So it's all good. Ungulalele.
Well, you know what? Antetokounmpo was hard to say at first as well.
Well, people just said Giannis.
No, but here's the thing. Now everybody knows how to say Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like,
so
now you know what to say. So DJ
will everybody say Ungulalele.
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 It's really cool to say. But DJ Ungulalele, who I just looked up, 22 touchdowns, 7 interceptions his last season at Clemson. Mind you, he's playing in the ACC at that point. So you got some teams that may be a little bit faster, a little bit bigger. You know, it's in certain spots. Clemson's a team that was really dominant for kind of the, you know, the end of the 2010s, you know. So 2017 through about 2019, 2020, like, I think Clemson was pretty much the team to beat. And then you think about the great quarterbacks that have come from Clemson over the last little bit. You've got EJ Manuel. We don't like to really mention him, but you've got Deshaun Watson. So you've got some guys that have gone to, obviously, Trevor Lawrence, who just won his first playoff game last year in Jacksonville. So you've got a great list of quarterbacks that have come from Clemson over the last little bit, and it looks like DJ Ungulalele, right?
Yes,
might
sir.
Be,
nailed
might
it.
Be the next big thing to happen to Corvallis. And so you pair that with Damian Martinez, who really took the Pac-12 by storm last year as a freshman and has a chance to really be the best back, not just in the Pac-12, but in college. You know,
all Pac-12 first-team running back
all
this
Pac-12
year.
First-team, you know. And so he has an opportunity not just to be the best in the Pac-12, but potentially the best in the country. And I think the main thing is making sure you have targets for DJ Ungulalele to throw to. Last year, you saw a lot of the receiving core from Oregon State take a lot of great strides forward, and that was a big reason. Like, towards the end of games, you saw some receivers make some plays. If DJ can put his team, you know, in position to really not turn the ball over the way we've seen with, you know, some of the Oregon State quarterbacks last year, it was kind of up and down at certain points. But what Oregon State really needs is some consistency from the quarterback position. If they get that, I don't think there's any any doubt, considering how well they played last year with the shaky, shaky quarterbacks. What a consistent one can do for this program this season can be phenomenal.
I'm excited to see what the Beavers can be with an actual quarterback besides like Bengal Branson and Christian Jibia. And even beyond Ungalalele, they've got their big recruit coming in that's going to be sitting on the bench. So Oregon State at the quarterback position looks like it's going to be sewn up for a while. So that is going to be one of the telling, you know, obviously the quarterback is the biggest position on the field. But I feel like in college football, you can get by with an average quarterback. You know,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, that's smooth. I like that. Man, football is in the air. We can smell it. We can feel it. Training camps are going. Preseason starting, was it next week?
Let's see. A week from this Wednesday or Thursday, excuse me. So August 3rd.
August 3rd.
So yeah, the Hall of Fame game. It's always a day or two after my dad's birthday. So yeah, August 3rd.
Yeah, so we are right around the corner from football starting, which means... ladies, I'm sorry, or any wives, girlfriends, you know, partners, anybody that you're attached to that's a football fan, I'm sorry, but for the next 30 weeks or so,
our weekends are sealed.
Prepare to be ignored, you know. So get that honey-do list done on really early Saturday morning or right around that afternoon break You know, most Pac-12 games don't start till, you know, right around 4 to 7. So that sweet spot to get that honey-do list done is right between like 1 and 3. If you can get stuff being done between 1, 3, 1 and 4, you're in great shape. But I myself am really excited about the football season starting, specifically Pac-12 football. Super excited. Obviously, there are some big changes are coming to the Pac-12, some losses to some major, major programs here in the Pac-12, most notably USC, that's going to be leaving and going to the wherever the hell they're going. Is it Big 12?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, boo. You know, so the Big 14 at that point. But for now, USC is still slated to be the Pac-12 champion. Obviously, they have the returning Heisman winner, Caleb Williams?
Yes, yeah, sir.
Caleb Williams also to play with, obviously, second-year coach over at, or second-year at USC.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley,
and
man.
Lincoln Riley. He's a stud, man. I like Lincoln Riley. You know, he's one of those guys that I think most people wish that they could have play for them. But, man, more specifically, let's talk about Oregon and what the Oregon Ducks plan to do over the next little bit. Man, I don't know, man. I think okay, Duck fan, stall me out. Let me say this. It's going to be a good season by football standards. From Oregon Duck standards, might not be the season that you're looking for. In the sense that I think Oregon Duck fans believe the Ducks are good enough to play in the national championship, or if not more than that, to play in the playoff, to be invited to play in the playoff. This is what we know about the Oregon Ducks. Playing in December and into playing in November, late November, is their Achilles heel. That's typically where it all falls apart, playing in that the Pac-12 championship game. This past year, it was losing to Oregon State in the Civil War game.
They always have a stumbling block or two.
What do we call them this game? It's not Civil War anymore. But
It used to be the game formerly known as the Civil War, but like, I don't even care. I'm just going to call it the Civil War. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Still the Civil War.
It's still the Civil War.
I'm just going to go ahead. I'm not offended.
The Civil War is not just in America. Every other country, of every other, like, stop it.
Guess
right?
what? Black
racist.
Folks aren't offended by saying Civil War.
Thank you. So
it's okay.
Thank you,
Rashad. It's okay. Good to know. Like, yeah, we're not offended by it. You know, it's one of those things. Call it the Civil War, and that's perfectly fine. Although the Ducks weren't able to win this game. Oregon State was able to come out with the big victory. But this is, like I said, towards the end of the season, that's typically when something goes wrong, whether it's a loss to Utah, and Utah just has the Ducks number. Like, we know the Utah Utes, they are the Oregon Ducks kryptonite. They're going to make sure that they play spoiler to the Oregon Ducks, it seems like every single year, but it's only been for the last couple of years that Utah's knocked them out in the Pac-12 championship. But Bo Nix is coming back for his senior season. It seems like Bo Nix has been playing football for like 12 years. But this is his fourth year. We forget that he had a couple big years at Auburn before he was able to come up to Eugene or down to Eugene or over to Eugene. And now he's going into a senior year, a second season in Eugene, probably the favorite to win the Heisman this year. Pretty much led the nation in offense last year. They have a new offensive coordinator, though. That's something that should be looked at. We often look at the head coach of the Oregon Ducks and blame a lot of the stuff, whether good or bad. They get all the praise if things go right. They get all the blame if things go wrong. But I think during the Marcus Arroyo years, it's kind of forced us to pay more of attention to what our offensive coordinators can provide for these teams. So there's going to be a lot of questions that Will Stein needs to answer. But man, I think Bo Nix is going to have a great season. I don't know. I think I'll say right around 10 wins for the Ducks this season, which sounds about fair. I know it's that's disappointing to a lot of Duck fans because they believe they should go 12-0 and with an opportunity to play in the playoff, but I'm more of a realist, and I think right around 10 wins is where Oregon should kind of expect themselves to be.
Yeah, I know that Dirt and Sprague kind of get on me because I say that a 10-win season is not just disappointing, but a failure. And that is, in a vacuum, I want my teams to win it all. I root for my teams to win a championship. And Oregon, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like is one of the only teams in the last decade, Rashad, not just in the Pac-12, but in all of college football that has been in the national championship twice. They've lost, but still had that national prestige. They've been there before and not quite gotten, you know, the final prize. Didn't get the BCS championship. Did not get the college football championship after beating Florida State down in the Rose Bowl a couple of years ago with Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota having an amazing game. And so I'm frustrated when 2019 started off with a loss to Bo Nix and Auburn, right? That was Justin Herbert's senior year. They ended up going to the Rose Bowl for the first time under Mario Cristobal. It was great. This is the kind of opportunity that I see 2023 as, Rashad. This is where the Ducks have it all coming back player-wise. They're bringing back Bucky Irving. Bo Nix decided to forego the draft along with Caleb Williams and Michael Penix and everybody else in the Pac-12. You know, half the teams are bringing back their stud quarterbacks and obviously defending Heisman Trophy candidate. And then you got a really full offensive team with weapons on USC's end. But Oregon has a chance to get to the college football playoff. Are they going to? Probably not, which sucks. That really does piss me off. I do feel like Alabama and Georgia are just too good. USC right now would be the team preseason that everybody's picking from the Pac-12 if anybody did from this conference to go to the playoff. But
don't have Oklahoma end up being good or one of those teams.
It's true.
We still got Ohio State. We still got Michigan
TCU,
that had, you know, I mean, that had a great season last year.
There's so many other teams.
There are a lot of teams that are going to be ahead of Oregon. So Oregon has to run the board if they want to go to the national championship.
No, so
or
a 10-win season.
To. So a 10-win season is nothing. They
it
have to run the board. Okay, so that's the Ducks. Let's take this last segment and just give the Beavs some love and talk about Oregon State. I got love for Oregon State.
One more note before we go. I was going to get to that SC last year allowed almost 30 points per game. So they can be beaten. Wanted to give Duck fans that little shred of hope that, I mean, they give up a lot of points, and last year they didn't always convert on third down. So, yes, Caleb Williams is good, but there are ways to beat Danny Morang's USC condoms.
And you just hope that for whatever reason USC hasn't filled in those gaps they need to make sure they can build a winner around Caleb Williams. So we'll see. Time will tell. We got a few weeks, and we'll get that answered. But coming up next, we'll go ahead and talk about the Beavs. Yes, I have love for the Beavs. I hate your stadium, but I absolutely love the Beavers. We'll talk about Oregon State chances next right here on The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Tying a bow on this bad boy this Sunday, 10:50.
Come by quick.
Yeah, man. It always does, man. Like, you know, sometimes we'll come in so tired and then look up and it's like, oh, damn, we're 10
minutes.
It's
over.
Left. Yeah, we're about done. So want to make sure we take time to talk about Oregon State. Last time we kind of glanced, just breezed past them. And it's important to make sure that we give them some love because Oregon State had a hell of a year last year. And I think they have a lot of expectation for this year. They came off their first 10-win season since 2006. That 2006 season, I think, was the was that where they were competing with the Ducks to go to the Rose Bowl?
I believe or playing spoil. No, they played spoiler when they were bad. Yeah, no, I think that was competing to go to the Rose Bowl that year. Yes, sir.
So I guess the big question is, can they be even better this upcoming season? Jonathan Smith, who I believe was Pac-12 Coach of the Year last year, coaching at his alma mater, has just been a breath of fresh air. Exactly what they needed. The big change from Gary Anderson, an even bigger change from it's been so long. I'm trying to remember who the coach was. For Gary
Mike Riley, Dennis Erickson. Yeah, there's been a prestigious
but
line
more specifically,
of coaches
Mike Riley is probably the most tenured coach that they have for a long time.
The point
ups
that
and
you're
downs.
Getting at is that Gary Anderson kind of put a hole in all of the success or the
Gary Anderson. I feel like only made it worse for a little bit, and that was a time we can forget. But Jonathan Smith has come in and completely changed things, and then Oregon State goes out and was able to land transfer quarterback DJ Yugenlali?
All right, it is Ungalalele, and it is not easy to say.
Dang it, Ungalalele.
So it's all good. Ungalalele.
Well, you know what? Antetokounmpo was hard to say at first as well.
Well, people just said Giannis.
No, but here's the thing. Now everybody knows how to say Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, so now you know what to say. So DJ...
Will everybody say Ungalalele?
Ungalalele.
Ungalalele.
It's a really cool to say. But DJ Ungalalele, who I just looked up, 22 touchdowns, 7 interceptions his last season at Clemson. Mind you, he's playing in the ACC at that point, so you got some teams that may be a little bit faster, a little bit bigger, you know, it's in certain spots. Clemson's a team that was really dominant for kind of the, you know, the end of the 2010s, you know, so 2017 through about 2019, 2020, like, I think Clemson was pretty much the team to beat. And then you think about the great quarterbacks that have come from Clemson over the last little bit. You've got EJ Manuel. We don't like to really mention him, but you've got Deshaun Watson. So you've got some guys that have gone to, obviously, Trevor Lawrence, who just won his first playoff game last year in Jacksonville. So you've got a great list of quarterbacks that have come from Clemson over the last little bit. And it looks like DJ Ungalalele, right?
Yes,
might
sir.
Be,
nailed
might
it.
Be the next big thing to happen to Corvallis. And so you pair that with Damian Martinez, who really took the Pac-12 by storm last year as a freshman and has a chance to really be the best back, not just in the Pac-12, but in college. You know,
all Pac-12 first team running back.
All Pac-12 first team, you know, and so he has an opportunity not just to be the best in the Pac-12, but potentially the best in the country. And I think the main thing is making sure you have targets for DJ Ungalalele to throw to. Last year, you saw a lot of the receiving core from Oregon State take a lot of great strides forward, and that was a big reason. Like, towards the end of games, you saw some receivers make some plays. If DJ can put his team, you know, in position to really not turn the ball over the way we've seen with, you know, some of the Oregon State quarterbacks last year, it was kind of up and down at certain points. But what Oregon State really needs is some consistency from the quarterback position. If they get that, I don't think there's any doubt, considering how well they played last year with the shaky quarterbacks, what a consistent one can do for this program this season can be phenomenal.
I'm excited to see what the Beavers can be with an actual quarterback besides, like, Bengal Branson and Christian Giobbia. And,
yeah,
and even beyond Ungalalele, they've got their big recruit coming in that's going to be sitting on the bench. So Oregon State at the quarterback position looks like it's going to be sewn up for a while. So that is going to be one of the telling, you know, obviously the quarterback is the biggest position on the field. But I feel like in college football, you can get by with an average quarterback, you know, as long as your roster is just flush with absolute athlete studs at every other position. So, you know, we'll see if that quarterback position in Ungalalele is going to work for Oregon State. It's a new thing for him, all fresh reset. He's got 2 years left of eligibility. And like I said, the transition of what Oregon State was from Gary Anderson to now Jonathan Smith has brought that prestige back. It's nice to see with Damian Martinez, other weapons just absolutely loaded for the Beavers. And they've got, I believe, four of their five offensive line returning, or three
yes,
of five. I mean, they've got a lot of their offensive line returning.
A lot of things
as well,
to be happy about.
Just like the Ducks. So they've got guys that have been there that have built this up with Jonathan Smith. I think their preseason power rankings from Sports Illustrated had the Beavers at fifth, which is one of the highest rankings they've had in Pac-12 preseason
that I can remember.
And frankly, I would put them actually ahead of Utah. So I know Cam Rising is good. I know Whittingham has got it going there with Utah. But the way that the Beavers came on strong last season, I would at this point put them ahead of Utah as the fourth best Pac-12 team.
I still think Utah is arguably the second best Pac-12 team. I think they're Cam Rising is too good, and we don't talk about him until it's time for them to play Oregon or something like that, and then he just goes crazy. But Willingham has built something really, really cool up there in Utah. However, the one thing we don't talk enough about, and we haven't really talked about Oregon State's schedule, they were able to avoid USC.
Yes.
So they don't have USC on their schedule this year.
That's true.
And they've got Washington and Utah at home. So they don't have to travel to those two really uncomfortable places to play. They get both of them in their own at Reser. And so that kind of takes a little bit more pressure off of them. So I think the schedule kind of lines up really well for Oregon State to make an impact. And the fact that they don't have to play USC, which I think in a lot of cases that's probably a guaranteed loss, you know, on your schedule. If you're taking that away, they have a great opportunity to win 10, potentially 11 games. So I'm going to go ahead and say this season, because people have the Oregon State game is now circled on schedules for the Pac-12.
No kidding.
You know, there's nobody overlooking them this year. So because they're going to get everybody's best shot, I can see Oregon State walking away with anywhere between 8 to 10 wins this season. I'm going to go ahead and say 8.
Yeah, I can see a 9-10 season, a win season for them. Easy. Excited to see Anthony Gould and what he's going to do at the wide receiver position for them coming back for his junior season. I would assume this is going to be his last year. So, yeah, the Beavers, a lot of weapons. Bunch of guys on the first and second all Pac-12 team to start the season, and a lot more expectations, which are a good thing. I think high expectations for the Beavers, a lot higher than they've been in a long time. It's some special in Corvallis, and with the season coming up, with the stadium being finished hopefully soon, oh man, it's going to get rumbling there. May not sound just like Autzen, but it's going to be pretty crazy.
No, it's not going to sound anything like Autzen. Very few places sound like Autzen, but
it's the zoo for a reason.
But I think Oregon State, the charm of Oregon State has always been that they've been their own program. They do their own thing. They're not so much concerned about what they're doing up there in Eugene, which is why, you know, if I think they were, they probably would have been a little more successful sooner. But because they've kind of beat of their own drum, I think Oregon State is going to be in great position to do some great things. So, man, Jordan, thank you so much, man. Today was awesome, bro.
Dude, I love this, Risha.
Man, this is awesome. This is always awesome. We need to get you talking more. So
I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely, man. So I hope you
football's
enjoy your
coming.
Sunday. Hey, we right around the corner. So break out the grills. If you ain't broke them out already, man, start getting yourself together. Start getting there. Enjoy the rest of the summer, because we know when football gets here, man, we're going to be sick and shut in on the couch just watching TV. So that's going to do it for us. For my guy, Jordan Schultz, I'm Rashad Taylor. Joe Fish will be back next week. The gang's all here. We're going to holler at y'all. Peace.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Tying a bow on this bad boy this Sunday, 10:50.
Come by quick.
Yeah, man. It always does, man. Like, you know, sometimes we'll come in so tired and then look up and it's like, oh, damn, we're 10
it's
minutes
It's over.
Left. Yeah, we're about done. So want to make sure we take time to talk about Oregon State. Last time we kind of glanced, just breeze past them. And it's important to make sure that we give them some love, because Oregon State had a hell of a year last year, and I think they have a lot of expectation for this year. They came off their first 10-win season since 2006. That 2006 season, I think, was the was that where they were competing with the Ducks to go to the Rose Bowl?
I believe, or playing spoiler. No, they played spoiler when they were bad. Yeah, no, I think that was competing to go to the Rose Bowl that year. Yes, sir.
So I guess the big question is, can they be even better this upcoming season? Jonathan Smith, who I believe was Pac-12 Coach of the Year last year, coaching at his alma mater, has just been a breath of fresh air. Exactly what they needed. The big change from Gary Anderson, an even bigger change from it's been so long. I'm trying to remember who the coach was. For Gary
Dennis Erickson. Yeah, there's been a prestigious
but
line
more specifically,
of coaches.
Mike Riley was the most tenured, you know, coach that they have for a long time.
The
ups
point that
and
you're
downs.
Getting at is that Gary Anderson kind of put a hole in all of the success or the
Gary Anderson. I feel like only made it worse for a little bit, and that was a time that we can forget. But Jonathan Smith has come in and completely changed things, and then Oregon State goes out and was able to land transfer quarterback DJ Uyunglele.
All right, it is Ungulalele, and it is not easy to say.
Dang it, Ungulalele.
So it's all good. Ungulalele.
Well, you know what? Antetokounmpo was hard to say at first as well.
Well, people just said Giannis.
No, but here's the thing. Now everybody knows how to say Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like,
so
now you know what to say. So DJ
will everybody say Ungulalele.
Ungulalele. It's really cool to say. But DJ Ungulalele, who I just looked up, 22 touchdowns, 7 interceptions his last season at Clemson. Mind you, he's playing in the ACC at that point, so you got some teams that may be a little bit faster, a little bit bigger. You know, it's in certain spots. Clemson's a team that was really dominant for kind of the end of the 2010s. You know, so 2017 through about 2019, 2020, like, I think Clemson was pretty much the team to beat. And then you think about the great quarterbacks that have come from Clemson over the last little bit. You've got EJ Manuel. We don't like to really mention him, but you've got Deshaun Watson. So you've got some guys that have gone to, obviously, Trevor Lawrence, who just won his first playoff game last year in Jacksonville. So you've got a great list of quarterbacks that have come from Clemson over the last little bit. And it looks like DJ Uiagalelei, right?
Yes,
might
sir.
Be,
nailed
might
it.
Be the next big thing to happen to Corvallis. And so you pair that with Damian Martinez, who really took the Pac-12 by storm last year as a freshman and has a chance to really be the best back, not just in the Pac-12, but in college. You
all
know,
Pac-12 first-team running back
all
this
Pac-12
year.
First team, you know. And so he has an opportunity not just to be the best in the Pac-12, but potentially the best in the country. And I think the main thing is making sure you have targets for DJ Uiagalelei to throw to. Last year, you saw a lot of the receiving core from Oregon State take a lot of great strides forward. And that was a big reason. Like, towards the end of games, you saw some receivers make some plays. If DJ can put his team, you know, in position to really not turn the ball over the way we've seen with, you know, some of the Oregon State quarterbacks last year, it was kind of up and down at certain points. But what Oregon State really needs is some consistency from the quarterback position. If they get that, I don't think there's any doubt, considering how well they played last year with the shaky quarterbacks, what a consistent one can do for this program this season can be phenomenal.
I'm excited to see what the Beavers can be with an actual quarterback besides like Bengal Branson and Christian Giubbia. And,
yeah.
And even beyond Uiagalelei, they've got their big recruit coming in that's going to be sitting on the bench. So Oregon State at the quarterback position looks like it's going to be sewn up for a while. So that is going to be one of the telling, you know, obviously the quarterback is the biggest position on the field. But I feel like in college football, you can get by with an average quarterback, you know, as long as your roster is just flush with absolute athlete studs at every other position. So, you know, we'll see if that quarterback position in Uiagalelei is going to work for Oregon State. It's a new thing for him, all fresh reset. He's got 2 years left of eligibility. And like I said, the transition of what Oregon State was from Gary Anderson to now Jonathan Smith has brought that prestige back. It's nice to see with Damian Martinez, other weapons just absolutely loaded for the Beavers. And they've got, I believe, four of their five offensive line returning, or three
yes,
of five.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a lot of their offensive line returning.
A lot of things
as well,
to be happy about.
Just like the Ducks. So they've got guys that have been there that have built this up with Jonathan Smith. I think their preseason power rankings from Sports Illustrated had the Beavers at fifth, which is one of the highest rankings they've had in Pac-12 preseason that I can remember.
And
frankly, I would put them actually ahead of Utah. So I know Cam Rising is good. I know Whittingham has got it going there with Utah. But the way that the Beavers came on strong last season, I would at this point put them ahead of Utah as the fourth best Pac-12 team.
I still think Utah is arguably the second best Pac-12 team. I think they're Cam Rising is too good, and we don't talk about him until it's time for them to play Oregon or something like that, and then he just goes crazy. But yeah, Willingham has built something really, really cool up there in Utah. However, the one thing we don't talk enough about, and we haven't really talked about Oregon State's schedule, they were able to avoid USC.
Yes.
So they don't have USC on their schedule this year.
That's true.
And they've got Washington and Utah at home. So they don't have to travel to those two really uncomfortable places to play. They get both of them in their own at Reser. And so that kind of takes a little bit more pressure off of them. So I think the schedule kind of lines up really well for Oregon State to make an impact. And the fact that they don't have to play USC, which I think in a lot of cases, that's probably a guaranteed loss, you know, on your schedule. If you're taking that away, they have a great opportunity to win 10, potentially 11 games. So I'm going to go ahead and say, this season, because people have the Oregon State game is now circled on schedules for the Pac-12.
No kidding.
You know, there's nobody overlooking them this year. So because they're going to get everybody's best shot, I can see Oregon State walking around, walking away with anywhere between 8 to 10 wins this season. I'm going to go ahead and say 8.
Yeah, I can see a 9-10 season, a win season for them easy. Excited to see Anthony Gould and what he's going to do at the wide receiver position for them coming back for his junior season. I would assume this is going to be his last year. So, yeah, the Beavers, a lot of weapons. Bunch of guys on the first and second all Pac-12 team to start the season, and a lot more expectations, which are a good thing. I think high expectations for the Beavers, a lot higher than they've been in a long time. It's some special in Corvallis, and with the season coming up, with the stadium being finished hopefully soon, oh man, it's going to get rumbling there. May not sound just like Autzen, but it's going to be pretty crazy.
No, it's not going to sound anything like Autzen. Very few places sound like Autzen, but
it's the zoo for a reason.
But I think Oregon State, the charm of Oregon State has always been that they've been their own program. They do their own thing. They're not so much concerned about what they're doing up there in Eugene, which is why, you know, if I think they were, they probably would have been a little more successful sooner. But because they've kind of beat to their beat of their own drum, I think Oregon State is going to be in great position to do some great things. So, man, Jordan, thank you so much, man. Today was awesome, bro.
Dude, I love this, Risha.
Man, this is awesome. This is always awesome. We need to get you talking more. So
I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely, man. So I hope you
football's
enjoy your
coming.
Sunday. Hey, we right around the corner. So break out the grills if you ain't broke them out already, man. Start getting yourself together. Start getting the enjoy the rest of your summer, because we know when football gets here, man, we're going to be sick and shut in on the couch just watching TV. So that's going to do it for us. For my guy, Jordan Schultz, I'm Rashad Taylor. Joe Fish will be back next week. The gang's all here. We're going to holler at y'all. Peace.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.